Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, I'm very delighted to introduce you to Kelly Namiro, who's coming to us all the way from Vegas. Say hey, Kelly.
Hi, Dr. K. So good to be with you today.
So Kelly, you're a health and wellness coach. And tell me a little bit about what's going on in your life. I first met Kelly just before she was getting married in Los Angeles. Yeah. And since then, you have really blossomed on Instagram. I watch your feed and I love the health, wellness, meditation, and slow movement kind of a program that you've started. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So thank you so much, first of all, for having me. I so appreciate it. And I started my program or my whole Instagram rather based on the fact that I went through some really hard times. It was pretty much in my early 20s where I was having really horrible irritable bowel syndrome, severe hypothyroidism where my hair was falling out and I had all this weight I couldn't lose because of this ongoing inflammation that was in my body. And at first I had no idea how to heal it. And so I was one of those people that tried everything out there from the paleo diet to HIIT workouts to, you know, everything that is under the sun. I gave it a go and I finally found things that worked for me. And it really came down to slowing things down, slowing all the stress down, taking that out of my life and, healing that inflammation, which healed everything else. So I was, you know, really getting my Instagram started. I wanted to share that stuff with everybody else because I know there are so many people out there that are going through the same thing. And I want to tell them that it doesn't have to be that hard, like healing these things. We think that there are all these hard things that we have to do, programs that we have to start, diets that we have to start, when the reality is, you know, just taking down the stress and slowing down is all it really takes. So yeah.
That's amazing. It's such a it's opposite of what you think. You need to like spend all this money and like invest in a really tight schedule and doing like so many different things, but it's actually quite the opposite that's worked for you. It's just telling yourself to back up, slow down. Mm-hmm. So you enrolled in this Institute for Integrative Nutrition and you became a certified health coach. And it's interesting because your Instagram feed completely changed, but you could see that it became green and bright and very vivid and fresh. So your imagery really echoes what you've been learning. What did you learn in integrative nutrition that you can teach us some pearls that we can bring in our lives?
Yes, that was honestly the best thing that I decided to go and do for myself because it made me feel comfortable with sharing the information that I already had. Plus I learned so much more with all of my followers and it allows me to work directly one-on-one with clients that I can help to coach. But when it comes to, you know, really general things, I think the biggest thing that I learned from the Institute of Integrative Nutrition was that it's when everyone thinks it's about food and nutrition really is about food, but it's about so much more. And it's about all the other primary food, that's what they call it, that goes into your life. So having a mindfulness practice, having some movement, having healthy relationships, noticing your emotions, those types of things all go into how you feel at the end of the day. And it's not just the food you're putting into your body. So we need to focus on the whole picture. So that was a lot of what I learned, plus some really great specifics on diet and exercise and, you know, hormonal health. That's a really big focus of mine. So I like to share just little nuggets here and there on my Instagram feed. But taking out stress is really what I've noticed that lowers inflammation, which is what I shared before, because as you know, you're a doctor, inflammation is like the biggest cause of all these chronic diseases that so many people are facing in today's world. And it's so much more common. So I like to bring that brightness into my photos, into my feeds so that I can share, you know, with other people. So
awesome. I mean, so many people, I think, suffer from undiagnosed thyroid ailments and they feel something's wrong with their body. They just feel that they're trying so hard and their body's very sluggish, tired and fatigued and just not improving. And they go to the doctor, they have thyroid function testing done and it might even come back normal. So right. It's one of these diseases that's very hard to pick up the subclinical hypothyroidism. Did you have that to some extent? Because I'm sure you passed your physicals.
Yeah. So for me, that I think that was the biggest problem. The whole issue of not feeling good, what I was talking about before with my hair falling out and having weight that I couldn't lose, feeling super tired. I was like napping in the afternoons in my office back in the day. Mm-hmm. It was so hard. And I would go to the doctor and my Western doctor, my family GP would be like, nope, you're fine. You don't need anything. You're fine. And so finally I ended up going to a naturopath who was telling me what the optimal ranges for thyroid function are and how far out of those optimal ranges mine was. And as soon as she put me on supplementation, and then I started to figure out, okay, I need to really get out of my own way in terms of movement and meditation and start a practice there. All of those things at the same time helped me to lower my dose of medication. And I still take a little bit, but not as much as I was taking before. And I just feel so much better in my body. So if you're out there and you have a thyroid issue, I have been there. I feel you, but it is possible to reverse it.
It's so hard. And for those of you who are listening, you don't have a visual of Kelly, but she's like slim and trim and athletic and beautiful blonde. And you would never think she would have a thyroid problem. Even when I first met you and you had a thyroid problem, you still had a very, you know, athletic physique. So it's not necessarily like if you're overweight, you don't have to be overweight to have a thyroid issue. At any weight, you can, your body can be not having optimal metabolism. So I think that's something that we need to investigate further, it's great to give people the tools to start asking those questions from their primary doctors, because your labs will come back normal sometimes and you just know that something's off. Yeah. You have tried intermittent fasting too. I've been doing that. That didn't work for you. I guess your body responded better to just like, you know, consistent nutrition throughout the day. You're like a grazer. Whereas I'm like a sprinter.
I always tell everyone who follows me, I think different things work for different people. And I think that you've got to go with how you feel and what works best for you. For me, I think that, I don't know if you know this, Dr. K, but I tell my followers a lot, I have to be super honest with them. I was in a restriction phase of eating for so long. And I think that it kind of took a toll on my body. So giving my body this blood sugar balancing meal first thing in the morning makes my body not go into that fight or flight mode that I was putting it in, unfortunately, for years and years. And so just giving myself, you know, I think it's a mental thing too, giving myself that food first thing in the morning, whereas I used to like be so restrictive because I wanted to gain weight. And it was part of, I think, my metabolism slowing down with my thyroid. I wanted to lose weight so badly that I would have done anything to get there. And now I realize like, okay, that wasn't very healthy, not a healthy way to do it. So I try to promote a really healthy body image. And like I said, I think that people who never went through that, you know, restrictive eating or eating disorder type of behavior, I think intermittent fasting, if that makes you feel good, I think that's absolutely what you should do.
Yeah, you do have to listen to your body, because it's really like some people will feel that sensory deprivation of not giving yourself food in the morning and interpret it like your body's in a threat mode. Like you're going to have starvation. It's stressful. But other people like myself, I almost feel like it's de-escalating the fuels of inflammation. Like it's turning the symptoms down and it's giving me time to reset and kind of a cleansing moment for me to not keep eating. But I think that's so true. Your mindset makes a big difference with it. But
perspective is everything.
You grew up in an environment where body consciousness and, you know, being skinny was so valued, like it in Southern California, in college at USC and stuff like that. Like I think that women in their 20s are surrounded by these images of very lovely, beautiful Instagram models who are ultra thin, and it's permeated our consciousness to the point that you do develop some body image disorder. If if you're a 20-year-old woman, I don't know how you can't have it, or a 30-year-old, or even a 50-year-old.
I tell some of my clients all the time, I think that some women, or most women, go through it from some degree to another. I think that it's so hard in today's society with all the images that we're being forced on us. So I really try, and I tell my clients to try to remove as many triggers as you can. So that means like unfollowing people on Instagram who are super, super skinny and make you feel like it's not their fault, but make you feel bad about yourself. Removing a scale from your bathroom, if that's going to make you feel like you need to go restrict or go work out later on that day. So, you know, trying to remove the things in your life that you feel are triggering you. And then if it's like a person or a family member who's triggering you, thinking about it in such a way that's like, you know what, so what if they think that I'm going to do what's right for my body because I love myself. And it took me years and years to get there, but it feels so much better when you just let go of all of that.
That's true. At every phase in your life, you have that challenge. In your 20s, you feel like you got to be skinny to get a partner or a mate to be attractive. Then you got to be skinny to get into the wedding dress. Then you have the baby and you got to get skinny again to feel like sexy again. It's really challenging because there isn't a correct body weight. You're going to fluctuate your whole entire life and you're never going to look like that model who photoshops her body anyway. It's, you know, it's like so many people have these twisted images of what's normal. Have you, I follow, and I think you probably follow Lauren Everts, the Skinny Confidential.
Oh, I love her. Yes.
She's awesome. Do you remember when she was eating so many Gigi crackers in her feed? Those are those thin fiber wheat crackers that they taste like cardboard, but they're just fiber. They're okay. But there's a whole controversy surrounding those Gigi crackers now about how the women that were eating them following that F factor diet were like really turning into this restrictive behavior where it really damaged their psyches quite a bit to think all they could ever have in their life was a piece of cardboard with some stuff smeared on it.
Yes.
And that is not what plant-based eating is. So can you tell us a little bit about plant-based eating and why following sort of like those kind of cult recipes to eat and live is is not healthy?
Oh gosh. So I think that looking at stuff like that with the F factor and the Gigi crackers, it's just, it's all in an effort to be like low calorie. That's really the thing that it comes down to most. And the difference between that and plant-based eating is there is so much more to plant-based eating. It's healthy fats like avocados and coconut oil and carbs like quinoa and lentils and, you know, putting those things together makes a protein and having lots of green leafy vegetables and squash and sweet potatoes, all the things that come together that really deliver so much nutrient value to your body. And to me, the reason I eat that way is because it makes me feel good. And people say to me sometimes even the same thing. They're like, how are you so disciplined? And I like to say to people, I'm not disciplined because I give my body what it wants. If I want to have like a veggie burger with fries, I'm going to do it. But I know that having the veggie burger makes me feel better than having this really heavy meat burger. So it's just a way of looking at things a little bit differently. Never being like, oh, I'm only going to have a salad today, or I'm only going to have this G cracker or whatever the case may be, really giving my body all of the nutrients that it needs, the flavors that it wants, but in a way where I'm getting the most nutrient anti-inflammatory diet.
Why did you decide on being a vegetarian and no meat products?
You know, it took me a long time to get here. I grew up in a family, an Italian family, where meat was the center of the dish every single meal, you know, from eggs for breakfast, turkey sandwich for lunch, and veal scallopini for dinner. Mm-hmm. That was what I grew up with. And then as my health was kind of in flux for those years in my 20s, I tried everything from the paleo diet. I tried keto for a little while to see what would make me feel good and how I would feel light and kind of free in my body. And I know this is going to sound gross, so I hope that your followers don't get offended by this, but I really noticed that my digestion, like by going to the bathroom and eliminating properly every single day, changed drastically when I went plant-based. And I lost the 10 pounds that I was trying to so desperately lose for my entire 20s. That weight finally came off when I started eating more fiber and eating more plants and just taking, I was eating like things like dairy a lot and taking that kind of stuff out of my diet because I think it just kind of weighed me down.
I think that's so important. People don't talk about pooping enough, but it's not that glamorous. However, Gigi
it changes
crackers,
the day.
It does. Yeah. I mean, Gigi crackers are just fiber. I interviewed the Tanya Zuckerbrot on our podcast, and I think her intentions are good. Like, a substitute fiber whenever you can to reduce calorie intake in your diet is a great, it's a great idea. But natural fibers are the best, of course. Like, they come with vitamins and nutrients and minerals, and the density of the calories is matched by the nutrient content.
Right.
So I think that's really important. And the feeling of fullness that you get when you have fiber in your diet is so important. I've been using inulin in my coffee in the morning. I don't know if you do inulin or not, but it's a plant-based fiber. You put it in as a powder. It's pretty easy to do, and it keeps me feeling very satiated. And one of the best things about it is it cleans out your colon, because your colon, literally, when you make hormones in your liver, they're processed through the liver. They're excreted into the stool and into the poop. Mm-hmm. And if you don't release that, they continue to function as active hormone metabolites. And so the process of, like, being really regular allows you to get rid of these hormones that you're just carrying around, storing, and they cause some of these problems that we talk about with your weight gain, irritability, irritable bowel, like hormone flare-ups where your thyroid doesn't balance, infertility problems where it's hard to maybe get pregnant, or where you have, you know, irregular periods. So I think it's so important to get on that regimen. Fiber, exercise, flat tummy by clearing out your colon as much as possible every day, getting rid of the waste products.
I love the idea. I never even thought of that, but I work with a lot of women who, clients one-on-one, who have estrogen dominance, and exactly like what you said, I try to get them to eliminate as much as possible. So I love the idea of suggesting inulin coffee to them, because those things like estrogen dominance also cause that irritability. It can cause different types of issues with your menstrual health. So when we have these hormonal issues, it comes packaged with a bunch of other issues. But having something additional support-wise, like inulin coffee, I try to do magnesium with a lot of my clients, but that's a really great idea. So I'm going to use that one.
That's a good one too. Do you have advice for women who are on birth control that they feel like that might be affecting them?
So birth control, I was on for 11 years, and I like to say to everyone, to each their own, everyone should do, you know, what makes them feel right. But for me, I know that it wasn't the best choice, just because I had to constantly be changing the birth control I was on, because I was having this breakthrough bleeding and all these other, you know, awful symptoms, the moodiness, the bloating that came along with it. Finally, I got off of birth control when I was 28, and I was trying to get pregnant with my son. Mm-hmm. And I thought that I was going to be one of those women who went on their honeymoon and came back pregnant right away. I wasn't. It took us about 9 months to conceive, which is longer than it takes for the average couple. And I attribute it to the long-term birth control use and not getting my period back for a while, taking a while to re-regulate. And what a lot of women don't know who are on birth control, the information I do want to share, is that you're not getting a period every month when you're on birth control. That's really just your lining that is created from the fake hormones in the pill. Your lining is shedding. And your hormones that would happen if you were having a regular period where you would ovulate are suppressed because you're on the birth control pill. So if you have any issues like PCOS, or any other hormonal issues that are common among young women, the birth control pill is just masking that. And when you are ready to, you know, get off of it and have children, it's going to be an issue that you may have to deal with. And for me, it was irregular periods starting from when I was in high school. That's why my doctor just like, oh, let's put you on the pill. And I didn't know any better back then. But it can really cause a whole host of issues that women don't want to have to deal with. So I would say it's better to just naturally track your cycles if you can. If that's something that you're open to, using an app like MyFlowTracker, so that you really know what's going on with your health, because your menstrual health is a really great sign of your overall health.
Very true. That's very true. I don't think we teach this enough in school. And like, there just ought to be a class about how to being a woman, period. How to have a woman body, what to do with it, like care and maintenance. Right?
Seriously.
Because you just get that basic birds and bees talk, and then it's like there's a huge gap, and then suddenly you get put on a pill, and then nobody ever really teaches you that. The doctors are way too busy to sit down and explain it to you, and your mom doesn't get it. So then what? So you gotta figure it out by school of hard knocks.
Exactly. But, exactly. Society, they do a better job at explaining to us how we can really maximize our menstrual health and fertility. We need a good course.
Well, there's an idea. You have a course coming up. What's your course going to be about?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So I have a 30-day challenge that's launching November 30th, because I think that is the busiest time of the year where everyone feels like they need to be taking care of everybody else. So I wanted to launch this challenge because I feel like you can really only give when you are coming from a place that your own cup is already filled. So we're going to work on things like meditation, movement, plant-based eating, connecting to your purpose, all with a day-to-day calendar and a checklist so that you have new content every single day to accomplish your goals. And I'm going to be there with my community every single step of the way to go through this 30-day challenge and create the habits that are going to give you the lifestyle that you want to lead for the long term.
That's so good. That's challenging to do it right in the middle of that busy season. So
yeah,
that's definitely great. I want to sign up. Challenge accepted.
Oh, I will send you a challenge packet, Dr. K.
I'll try to do it. I'm very bad at taking care of myself. I put myself very last on the totem pole of things to do.
All of us women do, right?
Yeah, that's something that's impressed me a lot. Like at a young age, you've really learned how to balance yourself, because I see you sneaking in a little mini workout of a 15-minute workout. And I think that is the healthiest habit. These little habits, the habit stacking, where if you can just throw in a little 15-minute good habit, you can really change your life dramatically.
100%.
That's true. Like instead of going out to some gym and doing like a 2-hour major workout, which is so unrealistic to ever have time to do.
Yes. I think that, you know, it's the little habits every single day that make up the way we feel in our lifestyle. So 100% getting those 15 minutes in for me, it makes me a better mom. It makes me a better wife, and it makes me a better businesswoman, because I'm able to clear my mind and just have a little bit of time to process everything.
Definitely. I feel the same way. Like for 6 months, I was doing push-ups before every shower, push-ups and sit-ups. I would not let myself get in the shower till I did my 20 push-ups, 20 sit-ups. And like, it sounds like nothing, but in the beginning, I could not even do one push-up. And you know, like 6 months, I could do 25 to 30 boy push-ups.
Yeah.
And like, it's those things that like really changed my core strength. So, and that little habit was like, I had no excuse. I didn't have to go to a gym. I just had to do it and hop in the shower. So little mini habits like that, I think, can be transformative. And meditation, I think, is a hard one to start on, because people also make that into such a big thing. Like you have to go sit by a stream with the brook and under a tree, like the Buddha. But you can also just close the door in a quiet room. What do you do?
Okay. So for me, I come up here at 6 a.m. I'm in my office right now, but I come up, I have a little meditation altar in the next room, and you don't even have to have that. You can just find a quiet space, close the door, and know when you first start that you are going to have thoughts. It's not about getting rid of the thoughts. It's about becoming aware of the thoughts. And that's what's going to make you show up so much better every single day for your work, for your family. However you're showing up, you're going to be less reactive. You're going to be more focused. You're going to have more creativity in your life. And you're really just going to feel like you're making more intuitive, connected decisions. That's really the biggest one for me. So again, I sit here for like 10 to 15 minutes. I put on a guided meditation because I like to hear the sound of someone else's voice, just guiding me through some sort of visualization. And yeah, thoughts still come up for me, and I've been doing this for years now, but it's becoming aware of the thoughts that are coming up. And I'll pick an inspiration card after that. I really like my little oracle decks. They always tell me what I need to know, and read A Course in Miracles lesson. And then I we'll go downstairs and make my celery juice. And by that time, my son is ready to go for the day. He's awake.
That's so good that you've taken time to do that. I sort of haven't given myself that carve out of time because I don't know, that crazy side of me thinks like you can't just sit still. You have things to do. Like it's wasting time. but I want to become one of those people that everyone who meditates says that it's the most important step of their day. So I know I have to find that in me this year. That's going to be one of my goals.
Yeah, I think it was so transformative for me. You know, I think that's what really changed my perspective on my own body image and connected me more to the work that I wanted to do. So it's been really big. And I have faith. And I know you can do it, Dr. K.
Oh, well, I'm going to try. It's been really lovely to see you with your new baby, how you're balancing everything. Do you have advice for new moms? Because it definitely is a lot harder than it looks. And you must have a whole family helping you, I'm sure. But yes. Any advice for trying to keep it sane and simple? It doesn't always look as good as an Instagram feed.
It definitely is not as good as Instagram feed looks. That is for sure. And I try to be as real and open and honest with my followers as possible. I have a nanny who comes Monday through Friday who helps me during the work week. And I would not be able to do it without her. I have my mom who lives 10 minutes away who will take him if I need to film a workout or get some content in. And the mom guilt is so real. I try to spend my mornings with West. That's what I always wanted to do and spend my afternoons working, but sometimes it always doesn't always work that way. I'm recording this podcast this morning, so he's with his dad. But I think the one biggest piece of advice that I could give you is if you have one kid or multiple kids, trying to organize your week in a calendar, making sure you know, what meetings and appointments you have to be at, who's going to be watching the baby when you're going to need help. If that is something that you can get, if you have a family member or someone that can help support you. And then the second thing would be, if you don't, having a friend or your husband or your partner, whoever the case may be, you know, take the baby for 10 to 15 minutes a day so you can have some time to gather that sanity. So if you're going to go take a bath or go for a nice walk outside, whatever it is. I think all of us need time to keep ourselves sane, mm-hmm. because being a full-time mom or being a mom and running a business or whatever the scenario is for you is hard work. It is really, really tough. So I feel for all the mamas out there.
It's really hard. Yeah. You really do need those 15 minutes apiece. That's why I'm chronically tired, because I will stay up till 1 a.m. just to get those 15 minutes when the whole house is quiet and everybody's asleep and nobody can bug you and your husband doesn't need a back rub and like all the kids are in bed. So you need those 15 minutes to remember, like to hear your own thoughts, even to just like have your brain get time to just do, you know, decompensate and have its own thoughts.
Yes, 100%. I always say that's what my meditation practice is too, is like a time for me to meet with myself. I have all these meetings with everyone else, meetings and appointments. And I was like, I need a meeting with me to know what I'm really thinking right now.
So true. Yes. And you can't 100%. Be on your phone those times. That's one of the reasons social media is not good, because you don't get to meet with yourself. You're seeing other thoughts people are putting in your head with the visuals of everybody else feeding into your head. And you need to turn off those channels sometimes.
I couldn't have said it better myself. That is perfect advice, Dr. K.
Yeah.
Stay away from the phone late at night for sure.
Definitely. Well, you're doing a beautiful job with your Instagram feed. It's very inspirational. And I think it's so real. It is very real, where you show everything that moms have to go through and the different steps of your day. So congratulations on really, coming together. It's so lovely to see you blossom into this new aspect of your life. And this program is so good for my listeners and followers out there. If you haven't already met Kelly, where should people find you, Kelly?
Okay, so my Instagram is Wellness by Kelly, and my website is wellnessbykelly.com. If you go to wellnessbykelly.com/memberships, you can sign up for a 7-day free trial to test out all my meditations and plant-based recipes and workouts. And I'm on Facebook too. I almost forgot about that.
But and don't forget to spell Kelly with a K-E-L-L-E-Y. And
that's right.
You got yeah. And you guys, there's a million different nutritional podcasts, plant-based people's motivational people out there. But I really wanted to interview Kelly because I just think her, she does a beautiful job of bringing it together. And she comes from a life where she didn't need to do all this. She could have just been taken care of, but she's really made it her passion to like become her own person, find things that work for her and really help this whole community of women. So I can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast. And I think you're doing an amazing job. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. K. This was amazing. It was so good to see you. I can't wait to see you again in LA soon.
Anytime, you got to come down. We'll do some baby Botox, a little bit of face maintenance. Moms need that too.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks so much for tuning in, guys. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram doing amazing things with people's faces at Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. And our website is the same. It's www.beautybydrk.com. And that's where you can find my amazing botanical ingredients and skincare. I use so much green tea in my skincare. Kelly, I got to have to send you some of my vitamin C serum, my deep blue hydration and night quench. So good. And you're going to, I know you love them already, actually.
I do. I love your products. They're my favorite.
That's it for now, guys. Stay healthy and beautiful.